Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
What a hell of a week this week. A little bit lower key in some respects.
Yeah, I'm starting to see a pattern emerge. I don't know if a lot of people have heard about this. I'm pretty politically astute. I think it's the guns. I don't know.
It's the guns. Stupid.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. That could be the show title pretty much for every other episode.
I'm about to say the show title in perpetuity, it's the gun stupid. So
yeah. We could just make that the evergreen subtitle for this show and every other political show. So we're gonna talk about a lot of things, but let's jump right into it. There was a massive court settlement in the Dominion versus Fox News case. Right before, I agree, thumbs down, right before they were set to bring Rupert Murdoch, Maria Bartiromo, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham up to the stand along with other producers and other behind the scenes Fox News people. Fox News were like, whoa, we don't want that so badly that we'll pay you almost $800 million if you could just let us not admit on the stand that we absolutely knew the big lie was bullshit and that we were peddling bullshit and letting people come onto our network and peddle bullshit while we texted about how much bullshit it truly was. Yes. Brad, you want to give a big thumbs down. So why are you against these people getting their money?
I'm not against them any getting their money. I just really wish that they had bothered to take them to trial first. And I acknowledge that Dominion is not here on this planet to be the savior for American democracy. That's not their job. They're a company. Their goal is to make money. And this judgment literally triples the worth of the company in one fell swoop.
I didn't realize that
they were Fox's crosshair. It just sucks, right? Because like they had all this fucking amazing evidence, and Fox knew that they were fucked. Otherwise, why the fuck are you going to settle to the tune of nearly 4/5 of $1 billion? Unless you know that you're fucked, and you know that to save yourself the embarrassment of having to have your, you know, mega personalities up on the stand and admit that they knew that the shit that they were peddling was bullshit. Which right. then could be, you know, probably played in on many TV stations around the country for a long, long time. That's worth much more than $800 million or $700 some odd million to Fox, is to keep those people safe, which is an insane thing to say. But when you're Fox, your lack of credibility is really the only thing you have.
It's the only credit you have.
That's right.
So I agree with you. It is not Dominion's responsibility. And look, I know what you're thinking. Hey, man, this sucks and I'm really mad about it. But here's the thing. There's another lawsuit coming right on the back of this, which is from Smartmatic, who is another voting machine company that was dragged through the mud specifically by Fox News and other conservatives. And they have a $2.5 billion lawsuit against Fox News that has been given the green light to proceed by a judge. So they're coming right off the backs of the information that was put out into the public from this Dominion case. So they're already starting on third base. They don't have to do all the discovery and the work. They're already there, right? Let alone all the information that they have on top of this. What is interesting is, and we'll talk about the political ramifications in a moment, because I think those are actually incredibly important, but what it does tee up is that Fox has a price, and their price is about $800 million. Well, if I'm Smartmatic, I want to see just how flexible that price is, and I bet it's a hell of a lot higher than $800 million, to be honest. Now, what I would like to see is Smartmatic go the distance, get these guys on the stand, and put them under oath, and make them say it.
They're not. Look, like you said, they'll work whatever settlement they can out of them. What I really wish, like, if you're going to negotiate a settlement, okay, that's fine. But at least make it a contingency of the settlement that Fox has to go on the air, and like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Maria Bartiromo and all these other people that were peddling this bullshit have to get up in front of a camera and be like, hey, like, we knew that this stuff was false and we still fed, like to give them the mea culpa and make them say it. Like if even if Dominion had settled and that was a part of the settlement, I would have been satisfied. Even though we wouldn't have gotten the fun and hilarity of seeing the Fox folks up on the stand and have forcing to testify under oath. Like, that would have been more fun. But like I said, forcing them to go on air and admit that they're full of shit would have been a nice consolation prize. Right. Instead, Dominion's getting their money, and deservedly so. But then Fox can do the old classic, without admitting any actual wrongdoing.
And that's exactly what they did, right? They kind of gave a mealy mouth response and like, well, we settled, but it's for freedom or whatever fucking bullshit they can come up with and that people will buy. Look, I'm not personally impressed by Fox's ability to tell the truth. I don't know why anyone would be. But I did kind of want to see him pay. I did. I will happily admit that. But they're not going to, at least not right now. But I do think Smartmatic, I think they have an ability. Like, will they just do a settlement? Sure, that's possible. But they also just have an ability to push these guys to the line. They absolutely could just push these guys to the line, and I would hope that they would. So I do, however, want to play a clip of my man Jake Tapper over at CNN reporting on this. Because
continuing to keep it the realist, Jake Tapper.
I love this. So here you go. Here's Jake Tapper talking about this.
Trying to put a positive face on what can only be interpreted as one of the ugliest and most embarrassing moments in the history of journalism. Fox issued a statement saying, quote, "We are pleased to have reached a settlement of our dispute with Dominion Voting Systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. The settlement reflects," I'm sorry, this is going to be difficult to say with a straight face. "This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our decision decision to resolve the dispute with Dominion amicably instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial allows the country to move forward from these issues." Unquote. Let's bring back CNN legal.
I love it, dude. I love it. But shout out to Jake Tapper for that, just because that's, like, he's not always the best, but when he can be a real prick, he really enjoys being a prick about it. I love that. It's going to be hard to say this with a straight face. Yeah, no shit. No kidding. But I did enjoy that. Look, again, you can push these guys to the line if you want to. If you're more concerned about just getting your dollars, I understand that you're a corporation. You have a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders and everyone else to do that. But there's a part of me that thinks you could probably get a lot of money and still burn these guys a bit, right? Like, I think you could. Like, I think
that's not their interest, because that's going to cost you even more in lawyer fees, and it's going to, like the cost stacks up. And again, their interest is not exposing Fox. Like, I mean, it is exposing Fox, but their ultimate interest is not exposing Fox for the American public. It's just to back Fox into a corner and make a shitload of money, which is what they did. And that's exactly what Smartmatic will do as well. Now, the fact that Fox settled is, a bit of a poison pill in itself. Like, so if you're at when you see your racist aunts and uncles for Memorial Day in a couple weeks, they go on the right wing bullshit and talk about how Fox is the real news, you'd be like, oh, really? If they're the real news, then why do they have to pay why do they choose to pay Dominion nearly $800 million for talking about some bullshit?
Oh yeah. Probably because of Hunter Biden's laptop or something. I don't know. Pick a buzzword. Joe Biden. At least Joe Biden controls the judge. Well, yeah, okay, that's
yeah. So at least we got that much going for us. So.
Yeah. Look, as I've long stated, this show, if it serves nothing else for you, it is to give you information to throw in the face of your racist aunt or uncle during the holiday season.
It's really our primary purpose for existing is just to arm you with retorts and you know, that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah, smart aleck behavior. Look, it's that's what we do here. It's a public service. The other part of this that I want to talk about that I think is incredibly important is what is the political fallout, right? Not with Fox News and not with people going on Fox or anything like that, but the 2024 election. This is a hot button, still smoking issue that the election is in fact rigged according to Donald Trump and many people in the Republican Party, maybe even his future vice presidential candidate. Marjorie Taylor Greene. Although maybe Lauren Loomer, I don't know. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene is mad because Trump is thinking about hiring Laura Loomer and she's like, that woman's crazy. That's my thing.
Yeah, it's weird that she's turned into like what passes for a moderate in the MAGA wing of the party.
Yeah.
Like if you compare against all the other MAGA heads, she's turned into like a moderating force, not just completely out there, which is batshit wild to me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's her recognizing that she needs to tone it down a smidge if she wants to actually be on his ticket and
you know what,
for vice president.
Whatever you need to do, because let's get real, you can't help but let that freak flag fly the second you're on that ticket. Go ahead, by all means. Look, it's going to bring out the crazies just like it did with Sarah Palin. But, oh, Democrats are going to be like, Trump again and this lady? Hell no, dude. No, they'll come out in droves against you. Like, sure, you want to put that nutcase on the ticket? By all means, go for it. Can't wait to hear her new thoughts on lasers. But there is a 2024 conversation to be had here, right? So this is a hot, smoking, still very real issue in 2024. How do you cover this and have any level of, okay, clearly Fox is trying desperately to like be nice about it, but try to move to Ron DeSantis as their guy, right? They're trying, but more on that later. It's not really working. But if they fail and don't get DeSantis over the line and Trump is the nominee again, because that is literally your only other option unless Trump dies during the primary. Oh, no. I'm very upset about it. Statistics. And so if it is Trump, and it at this point it looks like it most likely will be him again. He is always going to talk about this. How do you cover him as Fox News on this issue? Do you just not mention it every time he goes on your show?
That's exactly what's going to happen. They're just gonna pretend like, oh, what do you think about Trump talking about Dominion? Who now? What? I didn't hear him say Dominion. What?
Right.
Did you hear him say Dominion? I didn't hear it. So,
by the way, are they going to sue Trump? I would. At this point, I would.
Yeah, can't hurt.
Yeah, no, take him to court. Guess what? Again, like I've said in the last couple of months, there's blood in the water, the sharks will come. Hey, man, you already got one case going. You already tried to delay your rape case. That just got denied this week. Best of luck. Like, you got Georgia coming up. We'll talk more about that. Like, there's a lot of shit happening, dude. I'd throw my hat in the ring. I'd be like, hey, Dominion's back, baby. Like, we're going again. So I am curious as to what your thoughts are. What, like, okay, so they don't cover it, right? Like they don't cover it directly, but it is going to be an issue for Republicans in general that their guy potentially will be out here screaming about a conspiracy theory that has been fundamentally knocked down. Like that's got to hurt him.
Right, but I mean, even before this, like, go back to 2016, like the talk about election fraud from Republicans has gone back to when Trump won his election. Like, he fucking won. Yeah. And they were talking about fraudulent elections because they were embarrassed that he lost, that he got spanked in the popular vote, even though he managed to win the Electoral College. So I think that's the pivot. I think you don't call out a specific company by name, but you talk about, you know, you just say election fraud. You just say, you know, irregularities in voting and you know, illegal voting and the same shit that they've been parroting forever. I really don't think that this changes anything in how they cover the election, except for maybe they won't book people as batshit insane as Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani that they know were batshit insane before they book them to appear on these shows.
Yeah. Problem is, Tucker Carlson may not have that option because his boy, Mike Lindell, Mr. Pillow, is his number one sponsor on his show. Did you know that?
I did. Yes.
Yeah, everybody has left his show.
Very well aware.
Because, you know, his white power hour. But Mike Lindell is hanging in there trying to sell a bunch of shitty pillows to people. So it'll be interesting. I don't agree with you. I don't think that this is going to be a non-issue. I think they're going to have to tap dance really lightly, and it will be interesting to see how they cover him. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think this might have more influence than you realize, but that's just my speculation. I don't know. But yeah, we shall see.
We'll also see if Trump really does. It depends on who's around him, I guess, right? Because like, anyone that's on his campaign, even if they too are like MAGA heads, are going to be smart enough, I would assume, to realize that the election fraud conversation is a non-starter.
Yeah, no kidding.
With most Americans, and that people don't want to hear about that shit. And like, if you're going into 2024 still carrying a grudge and bitching about 2020, and that's your primary, that's the thing you're primarily carrying with you, it's a recipe for disaster. Now, I understand that he will have trouble stopping that from happening or from stopping himself. But if there's enough people around him that are smart, they will do everything that they can to kind of throw themselves in front of that speeding bullet as it's coming at him. So
yeah, you would hope, right? You would hope, right? Because it does seem like, dude, this is pretty obvious. You may want to just move away from this. But the guy is so goddamn arrogant. Like, that's always been his biggest issue, is that he thinks he knows more than everybody. And it's like, look, you don't. You really don't. So, yeah, we'll see. All right, let's move on from there. It turns out, and you know, this is actually a perfect pivot off of the previous story, because it turns out when old people watch Fox News, they get their minds poisoned. There's been documentaries about this and, you know, things like that. And I think that this is a bigger problem than people truly realize. And I can't specifically say this is Fox News, but the results are very Fox Newsian, right? With this idea of roving gangs of minorities are coming to kill old people, right? Mm-hmm. Get as many guns as you can, because the world is a hellscape, especially, you know, young black and brown people coming from the cities to your suburban or rural environments to hurt you. Like, if there's a knock at the door, you better be ready to fucking fight. You need a gun, because they all have guns and you got to be the first one to shoot, right? That sort of idea.
Mm-hmm.
This is rhetoric. This is the type of rhetoric we hear from conservative outlets all the time. Not just Fox News, but other conservative outlets, but definitely from Fox News and conservative politicians. Well, over the past week, two separate cases really hit major headlines this week. One, a young woman, she was, I believe, 20 years old. Yes, 20. Mm-hmm. Who was in upstate New York. Her name is Kaylin Gillis. She was a passenger in a vehicle that had pulled into the wrong driveway. And this is upstate New York, so not outside of New York City, in like a rural kind of part of New York. And she and three others were in a car and they pulled into the wrong driveway, right? People do it all the time. People like pull in partly in your driveway to kind of turn around. I have a driveway. People do that. It drives me crazy. Right? Makes me hurt. I'm like, get out of there.
Wait, they do it in your driveway. You live in a fucking cul-de-sac. They don't even need the driveway.
Yeah, I know, but people often, I know, I live in like a suburbia fucking nightmare. But it's, people don't realize because of the way my street is, my street name picks up behind like my block. So people just, who don't know, just drive straight up my street like it's just a pass through. And they're like, oh fuck, it's a cul-de-sac. And so they don't want to drive all the way to the top of the cul-de-sac. So they'll turn around at my driveway or my neighbors. So this happens. This is a common thing. Yeah. Everyone has, if you've driven a car before and not in like just in a, like a city, but like driven anywhere where people have driveways, you've likely done this or, had it done to you if you have a driveway, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal. Well, these young people in this car, they drove into the wrong driveway. And a 65-year-old man, Kevin Moynihan, fired two shots from his front porch into the car. They never got out of the car. They just pulled into the wrong driveway. He shot two bullets into their car, killing this woman immediately. Because he thinks they're coming for him. Mm-hmm. Right? At the same time, that was in upstate New York, a day or two later, a young black teenager, 16 years old, was shot twice in Kansas City, Missouri, where he was going to pick up his brother, and he went to the wrong house, and he rang the doorbell, you know, a capital offense. He rang the doorbell and was shot through the door once, and then the person came out and shot him in the head.
Other way around. The shot through the door, he was shot in his head. While he was laying on the ground, this dude comes out of his house and shoots him, aims for his chest, shoots him a second time, and hits his arm.
Okay.
As he's laying on the ground.
The person who shot him, his name is, the young kid's name is, Ralph Jarl. He was shot, by an 84-year-old. See a pattern?
Unfortunately survived despite being.
Yeah, he did survive. He's out of the hospital. Thankfully. Do you see a pattern? Like America, yeah. Do you see a fucking pattern here? You are telling old people to be terrified and they are shooting people for nothing at this point. This is not castle doctrine. This is not someone breaking into the house. This is not some bullshit excuse that right wingers love to look for. Well, he was looking in the window. No, dude, he rang the doorbell.
Yeah.
You're inside the house.
And the point, what do you want? The point that folks have been making, and like, you know, the family's attorney and other officials in Kansas City been making about that. Like, if it's okay to shoot this kid for ringing your door, does that mean that you can open fire on postal workers, on Amazon and UPS and FedEx delivery drivers, on DoorDash folks coming up to your door to deliver food just because you don't like the color of their skin? Like, right. is that what you're like, if the person who shot this kid, because he has been arrested and is being charged with first degree assault, which is the highest crime they could charge him with, even though they probably could have made an argument to charge him with attempted murder, considering.
I would say attempted murder. You shot him in the head and then you walked out. You shortly saw him down and then you shot him again. Why?
Yeah. But if you if the stand your ground defense law is applicable in this sense, then, you know, where does it stop? Where's the line then at that case?
Yeah, your castle, your ground was not being attacked. You were not in danger. The point of stand your ground, and I think it is a piss poor law, by the way, is to protect your house, right? Someone comes into your house, you have the right to defend your house. That is totally fine. Ringing your doorbell is not an assault.
Yeah,
it's not.
Do you know how many people ring my doorbell that I fucking like hide from just because I don't want to fucking answer the door and talk to a stranger.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here.
You don't I got see Brad shooting through a door because the Jehovah's Witnesses have shown up. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, I look, both of these stories really bothered the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. Like, it really did, because both, one, again, they're very young. They're 20 and 16. They are kids. Both of them are kids. And both of the people who shot are elderly men,
mm-hmm.
because they are so convinced that the world is ending. It's crumbling down around them. This is not a good thing. This is a bad idea that we have passed laws like Castle Doctrine laws and Stand Your Ground laws, because they don't, they aren't ever used in this, like, oh, they were trying to rob me. It's like, fear for my life. So I shot into a car in my driveway. Dude, are you doing? What are you doing? What if that was somebody that you knew, by the way, and they were just in someone else's car? Hey, man, I got Steve to drop me off. And you just start firing a gun into, like, that's insane. It's insane. Was that your mom or your sister or some shit?
And see, like this isn't a new phenomenon. How many cop shootings do we have that an officer, you know, I feared for my life against this unarmed person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Who's in their car and just happens to be black. You know what I mean? And we're just
going to
unload. Yeah. We're going to unload, you know, 20 rounds into this guy, 'cause I was afraid for my life. Like, no, you're a fucking scared bitch who had an itchy trigger finger.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. And that's all it is. And that's what it is in this case. And like you said, you have, you know, right-wing media poisoning these dudes, poisoning their minds, making like fear mongering, like dealing in, you know, just making people scared as shit, and combine that with easy, almost unfettered access to guns, even if you live in a state that it has, you know, is highly restrictive of firearms. It's not easy to get a gun in New York, but it's not impossible. And it's there's also a bunch of states around New York where it's super easy to get a gun. That if you really wanted to get a gun, you could just hop on over to Ohio, or hop on over to Pennsylvania, or hop on over, you know, to any of these other states where it's, you know, the laws aren't nearly as restrictive. And that is when you combine those two things together, when you're training people to be scared and dealing in preying on like the worst senses, and you give them easy access to deadly weapons. Well, what the fuck do you think's going to happen?
Yeah. Again, you literally have a generation that is on the way out,
mm-hmm.
killing young people in this younger generation because they are so fucking terrified of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that interview that went viral of Jon Stewart just super dunking on that local politician about guns, there's a part of that interview that I don't think people have noticed or talk about enough, which was, you know, the early part of the interview, he goes, like, you say that more guns makes us safer, right? We have 400 million guns in this country. When, like, what's the number where that, like, starts to kick in, where everything starts to be safe? And the guy's like, listen, you know, it isn't the guns that are the problem. It's, you know, it's the people, and we need to start dealing with, you know, the things that are making these people dangerous. But at the same time, like, one, that's rhetoric. It means nothing because you don't actually fund any of that shit, right? You don't care about mental health. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you can't then keep giving people guns while you're trying to figure out this other thing. Like, you don't flood the system with guns and be like, well, it's a people problem, but keep flooding them with guns. Well, how is that? How are you fixing the problem while giving them weapons of war? It doesn't make any sense. The reality is, you know that it's too many guns. You know that people have unfettered access, but you're so bought into that argument that you can't figure out a way out of it. So you're just saying things that don't logically make any sense. Hey, man, a lot of kids are getting killed. It's people. It's not the guns. Then why do you keep giving people guns? You're against most red flag laws,
right?
Like, so what is the argument here? Again, sometimes you can be so deep into your own argument that you're actually terrified to like deeply look at what you're saying. So you just keep digging yourself in.
It's also the problem when your stance is based in absolutism. Like when you put a hard wall up straight away and be like, no, like the Second Amendment says like unfettered access and that means everything. Like then you find yourself in more ridiculous situations as the weeks go by. It's, you know, we talked about last week that like Ted Cruz is, you know, like put out a tweet that's like, I want schools to be like a bank so that it's safe and people have guns. And then like 10 days later, there's a shooting at a bank that had an armed security guard that couldn't do shit to stop it because, you know, having a fucking, you know, automatic rifle is no match for a security guard with a handgun. And then the Republican response says, well, you just need to give these guys better weapons. What? Most people that follow this network know I'm like an avid board gamer. There's this thing especially in like collectible card games called power creep, where when you make like a really powerful card and you don't like nerf it, you don't like scale back how good it is, then the only way to like that becomes like the dominant card in the game's meta. And so the only way to overcome that, if you're not going to nerf it, is to make an even more powerful card that counters it. But then you have to counter that card, and then you make an even more powerful card, and it becomes this race to the top of, you know, insane cards, when really the smart thing to do was just nerf the first card that you made too powerful and to bring it back down to a more playable state. The solution here is not more guns. The solution here is not more powerful guns. It's less guns.
Yeah,
it's not fucking hard. Yeah. It's really not.
But again, I'm not sure how many 16-year-olds or 20-year-olds need to die because people are scared.
Forget that.
And by the way, those two old guys' lives. And by the way, those old guys, their lives are also ruined. Right? Yeah. I don't know that those guys, like, I'm not going to speculate that like they wanted to kill him. No, dude, their minds are so fucking insane. That they think they're like, we're being attacked, right? This 85-year-old dude wakes up the next day and he's like, oh my God, I killed this kid. Or, oh my God, I shot this kid twice. And this kid was innocent, right? Like, after you come out of the fucking bullshit and it's like, welcome to reality, Jethro. He's like, oh shit, oh my God, I didn't mean to do this. Right? Well, unless he's like a hardcore racist, right? Like that's what he wanted to do. Maybe, right?
Unless he's going to plead guilty to the charges against him, I'm going to have to assume that he's probably a bit of a hardcore racist until otherwise proven. Sorry, I don't give the benefit of the doubt.
Right? No, that's fair. That's fair. I think if you're just rolling the dice, you're probably coming out on top on that one, right? But the young girl who gets killed, right? This guy's shooting from his porch. How clearly can he see the people in the car? Not that clear, right? Mm-hmm. That's obvious. That guy, I think, was 65 years old. He's got to wake up the next day and go, oh, Jesus Christ. I fucking shot an innocent girl. I not just shot her, killed her. What does that do to the fucking psyche of a guy who yesterday is just sitting there watching fucking Fox News, just letting it just get thrown into his head, or watching some dumb YouTube playlist of like, you know, crimes that are coming for you, MS-13 is coming for you, that type of shit. This guy's life is ruined. Mm-hmm. That girl's parents' lives are ruined because they lost their child. Again, she's 20. Meanwhile, this other guy, he's 85, right? He's on the tail end of his life, but he's got to, unless he's a racist, he's got to wake up and live with that, right? That what he did. That kid, hopefully that kid, the rest of his life is normal. Mm-hmm. We don't know. He was shot in the head. So how the fuck do you know how normal his life is going to be comparative to what it is, right? But those are four lives that are ruined. Because we are just poisoning these people against their own fellow citizens. That's a problem. That has nothing to do with the quote-unquote mental state. Though, I mean, I guess it does have to do with the mental state. But it isn't just that. It is literally because they have guns. An old person can be paranoid. Just be like, ooh, young people and then just stay away. That's happened since the beginning of time, mm-hmm. right? You get old, you get a little bit more scared. You're not as strong and you're not as tough. You think people are going to take advantage of you. That is normal shit. But when you tell those same people, here, take an AR-15 and protect yourself. Well, it's when you have a hammer, every problem is a nail. And that's the fucking problem. Ugh, I'm yep. so very sick of this.
And again, it's gonna be something else next week and something yeah. else the week after that, because we're not actually fixing the problem. We're yeah. just, you know, we're just circling the problem. And we're on two separate sides, and one side says fucking morons, less guns, and the other side's like, no, all the guns. And nothing's ever going to get done. The states are fucked because most states are either hardcore blue and hardcore red. The hardcore blue states have the laws that they need, but they can't stop people from going into the fucking hardcore red states where it's easy to get guns, and that becomes a problem, and round we go. So
yeah.
What it's really going to take, and I don't know if this is even possible, it's going to take someone like an Illinois to like sue the state of Indiana and some of the other neighboring states around them for making it too easy for their citizens to access firearms, because they're going to be like, look, we have these gun laws in place for a reason. Your inability to control the flow of these weapons in your state is having an inverse impact on our state, and it's hurting us. And I'm yeah. sure someone can frame the legal case. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take one state suing another state and winning as well. And it probably
would get best of luck with that.
And it would probably get thrown out anyway by the time it got appealed up to the Supreme Court, because we are where we are with right. that right now.
Yeah, so. I don't know, man.
But that's what I would do. Like if you're finding all these, like if Illinois police are finding all these guns that weren't purchased in the state of Illinois that are involved in all these crimes, well, they got to be coming from somewhere. Where are they coming from? So,
again, when you look at the worst places to have, the worst gun deaths. You know, the U.S. is not, at least in 2019, was not the top. It's Brazil, right? And Venezuela is right behind them. So, like, curious.
But we shouldn't be anywhere near the top of that conversation. No. We are supposed to be the most advanced, the most civilized, the most, you know, economically prosperous country on this fucking planet.
Yeah,
but isn't that undermined when you have this problem that you can't fix? Like when your statistics are high, are as high as some, you know, countries that have a lot more poverty, a lot yeah. more strife, you know, that than your country does, and you yeah. can't seem to fix this problem.
Right?
Like I'd be embarrassed. I am embarrassed. Sorry,
right.
I am embarrassed. I fucking live here. I'm an American citizen. I am right. embarrassed.
Right.
That's the case.
I mean, it's amazing. It's just amazing that we are still fighting this issue, and I'm not sure that we won't be still fighting it in 20 years.
Not unless, like I said, it would take.
I honestly don't even know what it would take.
The only thing I could think of is an armed fucking assault on the U.S. Congress that literally kills like tens of Congress people,
right?
Mostly Republicans. Like they just fucking killed Democrats. They'd be like, "See, you need more guns, fucking idiots."
Yeah,
we carry guns all the time. But like you said, even then, who knows if that would actually?
I mean, again, Steve Scalise was shot, and he was just like, "Yo, we need more guns." I'm like, "Yo, you got all right." Like,
yeah,
best of luck, man.
But I'll tell you this: I'm fucking sick and tired of talking about it every week.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about it every week. Like we've talked about it the last several weeks. Yeah, we've talked about the last several weeks.
The big shootings.
Right. Or the ones that are insanely egregious. Like something did also strike me when I heard the story, like when the story came out about what happened to Ralph Jarl, like something triggered in my head, even though that wasn't a mass shooting like incident that we normally cover. Like just like this dude, like fucking ringing the doorbell while black is now a thing that black people have to be concerned about amidst all the other things, amidst driving while black, amidst walking in a park while black, amidst, you know, jogging while black.
Look, let me tell you a little story. This is not new for us. It's not new for us. Look, I have a young daughter, and my daughter will be 4 years old in a couple weeks. And so like where her playroom is on the ground level of my house, right? There's a big window and sometimes we have it open, sometimes we don't. We live in a very safe neighborhood. Like we don't have any issues, even though I live in Baltimore. I know everybody thinks it's like a fucking, it's not all the wire. Okay. It's like,
I don't know. You do live in West Baltimore.
So. That's true. I live very, very West Baltimore. Yeah. Now I live in a like grossly safe area. Right. And so her playroom is like on the ground level and I have neighbors who are white. And their kids were just like we're good friends with them, right? And their kids are a little bit older than her, and they were running outside, like across their front lawn onto our front lawn, right? Which is fine. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. They're my friends, and they're my friends' kids, and they were like looking in the shade was up, and they were looking in the window, and they were like waving, like hey, and. Totally fine. It's like what kids do. Mm-hmm. And I told my daughter, this maybe about a year ago. And I told her, I said, you cannot do that. You can't. And if you are a black parent, a parent listening to this, or you're a black person, you got this talk before. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to do that because some white person may see you and think that you are a threat and they will shoot you. Here is the story. This story of this young black kid, and I don't mean to trivialize the shooting of this young white girl either. Again, a fucking horrible tragedy. She died, right? This is a horrible tragedy. Mm-hmm. But that story of that young black kid, it resonated with me because I got that talk. You don't do that. You don't look in people's houses. You don't do shit like that because that is a very real thing. And when you say things like that to white people who are less aware, unlike you, right? Mm-hmm. They go, you're being ridiculous. That's crazy. That's crazy. No, it isn't. And this is the reason that black people have these talks with their kids.
It's because they can't relate. Because
right. Because it doesn't happen to them.
Never had that talk. Never had to have that talk when I was growing up as a kid. Never once have I knocked on someone's door. Never once have I been pulled over by a police officer. Never once have I done anything in my life where I'm just like, oh shit, got to make sure I don't get shot here. Like this, like real risk of being shot. Yeah.
But in this new version of America that we've all grown up in and that we are steeping our children and ourselves in day after day in this level of violence, it is a talk you have to have with your kid now, even if they are white.
Well, and with my kid as well, because he is special needs, and I've seen an untold amount of stories of cops acting with extreme aggression towards kids with special needs because they don't have training to deal with that, and because those kids and those people don't understand.
Right, and you can't explain that to your son in the same way that I can explain to my daughter, right? So it's a very dangerous situation. So like that idea of like what that talk is, that's no longer a black thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a parent thing now. Now you have to tell your kid, be very careful about what driveway you pull into.
Yeah.
Make sure that if you go to pick up your brother, that this is the address, this is what the house looks like. Here's a picture of the house, right? You have to be extra vigilant. Right. There is a thing with black people. I don't know if white people do this, but I know where it comes from with us. Right. Black people, we do this. You come to my house to hang out. Like if you came over and you're like, hey, let's like hang out, watch a movie or whatever. When you leave, you like it's an unwritten rule. And we say it anyway. You text when you get home. That's what black people do to other black people. We do that shit. Text when you get home. Why? Mm-hmm. Because there was a time where black people would leave the house or leave their friend's house and they did not make it home, right? So, you know, you can draw that shit all the way back to slavery if you want to, duh. But even a little bit more modern than that, Jim Crow and shit like that, that was a thing that happened to us. So there is a thing built into us, like you always check in. You always, if you can, I mean, obviously back then they couldn't text, but you check in. You can check in now. You let me know that you got home, right? Because we didn't know. But guess what, white people? You got to do that shit now too. Because you have made it a situation in America. It's not all white people's fault, but it's definitely conservative white people's fault. You have made a condition in America that your kids are at danger for the little shit just existing, which is exactly what black people have been dealing with their entire lives.
There was another story.
Welcome to our America now.
Yeah. There's another story. It's not in our docket. Two white men, two middle-aged white men, got into a road rage incident with each other and shot at each other. Cool. And the people that got shot were their 5- and 14-year-old daughters.
Oh, I remember that story. Yeah, yeah.
Who were in the car. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Yeah, two middle-aged, are you just fighting in the street? Come on, man. Why, he cut you off? Ah, you son of a bitch. And then just keep going. Like, what are you getting out of your car to fight a guy?
I will give you a pro tip, and we're going to, like I said, we're going to end this segment a little bit more lighthearted. So my wife, who is a very angry driver, I will say, much more angry than me, because she gets very upset when people cut her off.
I can see it.
She used to flip people off, and you know, in this day and age, that's just not a smart thing to do anymore.
Nope.
But you know what's not as anger inducing, but much more patronizing, and that she's been doing with great effect. You give the other driver a thumbs down when
I like that. I like that. That's definitely more patronizing. That's pretty good.
So try that one out. Instead of flipping someone the bird, just make sure you look at him and just give him the thumbs down when you drive by the window. Let them know that that they did a poor job at piloting their automobile.
0 out of 10 would not follow. That's pretty good. I like it. I like it. But yeah, I'll let it leave on that high note. I won't tell my story I told Micah and Terrence once about me taking a spot this white woman thought belonged to her. And she got out of the car and thought she was being sweet and funny and said one of the most racist things I've ever heard. And this, I was like, wow, I'm just going into Trader Joe's. But cool.
I feel like you have told this story on the show before.
Have I told that story? Yeah.
It sounds vaguely familiar. I don't remember the particulars.
But. Yeah. But I'll leave it. I'll leave it. I'll tell you offline. So, all right, let's move on from there. Old Puddin' Fingers is having a bad week. That's pretty good segue.
Oh my god, I gotta say, I'm a little upset that the pudding thing has caught on to the point that Trump actually like ran an ad against DeSantis, and they literally had like Ron DeSantis has his fingers in a lot more thing than pudding. I'll tell you right now.
That was the one, but that was the one ad he actually responded to. Like,
I know, I like Meatball Ron. I like Meatball Ron.
Yeah, so Meatball Ron's good, man. It fits. It fits. It kind of does.
Like I said, it's a little lowbrow. We're poking fun at the fact that the dude's, you know, little round. But I don't. It's just got a certain zing to it.
It works, right? It's
cause,
like
because you look Marco. At it and you're like, he does look like a meatball, doesn't he? Like he fucking really meatball. Fucking does.
Yeah, what a fucking meatball that guy is. Come bring Meatball Ron back. But old Puddin' Fingers is not bad either. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he's having a hell of a week. So one of the things that he did is Thursday he went to Liberty University to kiss the ring, as you do. And that was after passing a 6-week abortion ban bill into law. He didn't even talk about it.
Nope.
By the way, that was a huge mistake.
Reportedly, abortion Not a motivating issue for Ron DeSantis. So he basically got pushed.
Yeah, like, I heard that too.
He pushed his party into doing that 15-week ban last year. And in response, his party's like, nope, not extreme enough. Let's go fucking balls to the wall. And he's like, ah, shit. God
yeah,
damn
he
it.
Thought he could skate the issue. Right. Yeah, that's a mistake. That's a huge, huge mistake. Again, if you make it through the primary, people are going to hang that albatross around your neck in mm-hmm. the general. 6 week? Look, 15 isn't acceptable to me. I don't think this should be a ban at all. But 6 weeks is basically banning all abortions, considering most mm-hmm. women don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. No, it's tantamount to just an outright ban.
Yes.
Where, again, we talked about this. 15 weeks is a perfect political conservative point because it makes it sound like it's a big deal. Most people get abortions before 15 weeks, so you really don't stop much of anything. They get to go, hey, we did a ban. Liberals get to go, fuck off, I get to do what I want anyway. And mm-hmm. politically, Republicans are like happy about it, right? Yeah. Liberals are not, for obvious reasons, because they don't want any bans. Again, I don't either. But if you're going to do one, and you don't want to piss off too many liberals, and you want to piss off zero Republicans, a 15-week ban is like your perfect spot. But Ron's like, nah, fuck that. Let's go six. Because my legislature is crazy. So he didn't even bring it up to Liberty University, which is curious. Mm-hmm. My guess is he didn't want the headlines. Nope. He signed that bill, by the way, just before 11 p.m. on Thursday. He was
flew back from a book tour, signed the bill immediately, like in the dead of night, and then got right back on the fucking plane and left again. There was zero pomp and circumstance behind that.
Yeah. And he is not a guy to do shit like that. So then he went and tried to have a bunch of meetings with potential donors and Republican congressmen to get endorsements. Didn't work out great. One major donor put plans to support the presidential run of Ron DeSantis, quote, on hold. GOP mega donor Thomas Petterfee told Financial Times that he and, quote, his friends are no longer backing a run because DeSantis is staying on abortion and book banning. Mm-hmm. Again, trying to go balls to the wall in a primary, it's not going to work.
And he also met with Florida federal legislators while he was in D.C., mm-hmm. so people from his state. And literally, immediately after leaving that meeting, Greg Stube, who's a congressman from Florida, puts out an endorsement for Donald Trump. I'm just like, holy yep. shit.
Yeah, they don't like him. He has the
doesn't
thing
have,
that we've always
have the
said.
Juice.
He doesn't have the juice. He doesn't have the charisma. And look, you can hate Trump all you want. We do. But Trump has charisma. It's like douchey charisma, but it is mm-hmm. charisma. And look, a lot of these guys are also douchebags. So they're like, this is our guy, right? But Meatball Ron doesn't have a personality worth shit. He just doesn't. He's, again, abortion's not even his issue, but he can't even convince you that it is, right? Mm-hmm. Abortion isn't Donald Trump's issue either, but he can convince Republicans that it is his issue, that he cares about it so much. And they go, oh, yeah, no, we totally buy it. He don't give a fuck about that issue whatsoever. But he has the ability to make you think that he does. Here's another quote. If I were one of his advisors, I'd be like, dude, what are you waiting for? Right? The shots are coming regardless whether you're a presidential candidate or in an exploratory phase or dropping hints. I would have already announced. That's another thing. He hasn't announced mm-hmm. that he's running.
Right. Well, and that's the funny thing is that so while he has announced he's running, Trump is acting like he is. Trump's out yeah. here taking shots at him. And instead of firing back, DeSantis is still trying to like fucking go, you know, round with Disney and trying to fight that fight, which is going embarrassingly poorly.
Yeah, he's threatened to build a prison next to Disney. Dude, they'll just leave. They'll just leave. Then what? What if they leave Florida? What are you going to do? Like, oh, fuck. They're like the number one employer for Florida residents. Like, don't do that. Like, look, I'm not saying you should just kowtow to everything Disney wants. But you picked a beef with Disney because, like, what was the reasoning?
Again? Because Disney spoke out against
the Don't Say Gay bill. Right.
Well, yeah.
Like, dude, they're a corporation. They're allowed to do that. You could just be like, fuck Disney, and then just move on. Like, why would you pick a fundamental fight with them?
Because he was feeling himself, Jay. He was on top of the world. He was feeling like, like I've got this in the bag. Like, oh my god, I'm gonna fucking slay Disney. It's gonna be amazing. I'm gonna like shit. And he's like, oh, Disney. That's right. Disney has unlimited money.
They just put out another Marvel movie, and they're like, yeah, we got money. Let's go. Let's keep fighting. Like, they're good to go. But I do think. Look, I think that DeSantis is in a really, really bad position right now. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't count him out. You know, this time around in 2008, people were like, look, Barack Obama has no chance against Hillary Clinton. And guess what? He pulled it out. So you never know. People dismiss McCain as having a chance. And he was able to pull back from behind in a huge crowded field. But I don't. Okay, let's say Ron DeSantis, fucking shits the bed here, which appears that's happening. Mm-hmm. Who outside of Trump could beat Trump?
I mean, no one certainly that's on the scene right now.
Nikki Haley?
Fucking no. Tim Scott, no. Mike Pompeo took his 0.3% of the vote and went home last week.
I was gonna lean into that in a second.
Iron Mike,
yeah. Mike John Pence, Sununu?
Mike Pence, no. Yeah, Chris Sununu, no.
Or excuse me, Chris Sununu.
DeSantis is probably as we know the field right now, the only person who has a legitimate chance to beat Trump, and even that looks like a fleeting possibility.
Look, you're gonna have to hit him eventually. And I mean, Ron DeSantis' ad was so lame. I don't know if you heard it, where he's like, at the end, it's like, you know, Donald Trump did this and Donald Trump did that. And it's like,
basically Trump was awesome, but now he's doing all this stuff. Like the way, I'm sorry, if you're putting out an attack ad against a politician, be like, this guy used to be cool and now he's lame. Now he's like, that doesn't work that way.
Like, people are like, oh, so even you think he's fucking great. Well,
yeah.
Then why do I want Trump Lite when I can have Trump?
I mean, at this point, with the way things have been going, I would not be surprised if DeSantis, in fact, does not even declare at this point, because he's already so far behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
That it's gonna all change when you go to the debate stage? Is it like do you have enough people that are willing to lie to your face like that? To be like, oh no, you can make up ground here. Don't worry. Like,
dude, look, I gotta tell you, that's what I want. I wanna see those two go, you know, toe to toe on a debate stage. Cause again, Trump is a terrible debater, but Ron DeSantis is not a good debater either. But DeSantis has no charisma.
But here's the thing though. What I actually don't want is I don't want Trump to have to go toe-to-toe with someone that he clearly will mop the floor with. And the reason that I don't want that is because I don't want to give any opportunity for these, like, on-the-fence GOPers who really don't want to vote for Trump.
Right.
But still want to vote Republican. Like, I don't want to give them an opening to be like, you know, oh, that's right. That's the Donnie Trump I remember. Like, oh, like that's why I voted for him back in 2016. Like, that's the dude. Like, he's back. He's back, baby. Like, we're gonna fucking do it. And like, I don't want anywhere near that. And Trump would pummel DeSantis in a debate. Like, it would be the conservative version of like when Liz Warren just fucking annihilated Michael Bloomberg live on national TV.
You know, it was like a suicide bombing situation. Right. Like, well, I'm going down and I'm taking your ass with me. It was beautiful.
Right.
So, yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know what Ron DeSantis can even do to garner any sort of like mega support. I really don't.
Yeah.
You need to declare. If you're going to do this, you need to declare. And you need to come out swinging, dude.
Well, and you need to do it now because I remember the first, if I recall correctly, the first Democratic debate was in July of 2019. Hmm. And we are fast approaching that time period for Republicans.
Yeah.
So, like, if primary season's going to be heating up, like, we actually need people to be – to be in the race. And again, the current crop of people that are out there.
Well, it's a joke.
It is an absolute joke. And I don't even know why guys like Sununu and why guys like Tim Scott are even bothering to run. Actually, I know why Tim Scott's running. Tim Scott's auditioning for to be vice president. Yeah. But
I could 100% see Trump picking him. Mm-hmm. Boy, is that going to look really, really awesome in the eyes of the black people to have a black man like Tim Scott running as Trump's vice president. Chef's kiss. Can't wait to watch you get your fucking heads knocked off. Yeah, like, oh, yes, boss. Can't wait to run with you. Yeah, Tim Scott sucks. There's no more racism. Why do you keep getting pulled over in D.C.? Well, I mean.
I mean Tim Scott can't even give a solid answer to what he thinks about abortion without filibustering for 2 minutes, so I don't know if Tim Scott's prospects are very good. I don't know if he's going to have what Trump's looking for necessarily.
No, he needs it. Like, the thing is, Trump doesn't want someone who's going to outshine him, right? Because he's all id. He's going to need a younger person who's a bit of a firebrand, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not Tim Scott.
It's not Tim Scott.
Firebrand is not a word that I would associate with Tim Scott. So.
Right. So a younger firebrand,
mm-hmm.
he needs something that's going to change the dynamic, which is going to make people talk about it. And he needs somebody who can match the fact that Biden has a good VP. Mm-hmm. The obvious choice is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I mean, from his perspective, it honestly is, which is it good is. For us. Like,
but it quite literally is. He needs somebody who's going to get out there and just throw bombs constantly because he's getting old. He can't, right? He can't keep up. She'll go balls to the wall.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she will consume him. Just like Sarah Palin did to McCain. When it came down to it, more people were talking about Sarah Palin than they were talking about John McCain, and that is a terrible situation for a person running for president. And Marjorie Taylor Greene will suck up every bit of oxygen in that room. She will. Mm-hmm. And look, and she's not going to suck that oxygen up and say some normal shit. She's going to go crazy. And she's even worse than Sarah Palin because Sarah Palin was just dumb, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she was just like, oh, I don't know, like, we use snow machines, right? Like, she is just kind of stupid. Marjorie Taylor Greene is stupid, and she's also just kind of evil, right? Like, she just says some really despicable garbage out of her mouth. And she's dumb. So that's a MAGA candidate if I've ever heard one. But, you know, if she wants to be the MAGA princess, like, I support it. Good. Because you're going to get the shit kicked out of you in that race. You really are. You're going to get the dog shit kicked out of you. Next up, I don't know, man. I feel like you shouldn't do this. Oh, that's tagged with the wrong article. I'll find a proper article for it. Ali Alexander, one of the Stop the Steal organizers, if you've never seen him, think of an Indian Sammy Davis Jr.
He really does look like that.
That guy,
I think there was a tweet in the wake of this story that said, like, it was a picture of him and Trump, and they said Donald Trump with scammy racist groomer.
Yeah,
which was pretty good.
Not a good look. This guy was like, "Hey, teen boys, if you could send me pictures of your Johnsons, that'd be great." And then when he was caught, he did what every other shitty person does. They apologized for a thing that they did, right? "I'm sorry I did this thing." You're not sorry. You're sorry you got fucking caught. Correct. Yeah, so he is accused of asking teen boys for pictures of their penises. I think this is funny. Not asking underage boys for pictures of their dick. I think that's unacceptable, and that is pedophilic. But I think this is funny because they're just a treasure trove of Republicans who want to have sex with kids.
It's also weird how
people saying that everyone else is a groomer.
It's also weird that Donald Trump keeps surrounding himself with all of these fucking pedophiles. It's fucking crazy. Apparently, Nick Fuentes fans are also pissed off now at Nick Fuentes because they're like, "How could you not know that Ali Alexander was, you know, is gay and is getting dick pics from these young dudes?" Which I also find hilarious that his supporters are very upset.
I also find it hilarious that they Alexander, who has described himself as bisexual in the past, added that he is, quote, battling with same-sex attraction. Dude.
Yeah. Sorry.
You're not battling.
It's fine. Yeah.
You're bisexual or just
it's okay.
Gay.
It's okay. It's okay to be attracted to dudes. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. It's fine. Not battling. Who gives a fuck? Like, it doesn't need to be a battle. Here's what needs to be a battle, though. You versus your new cellmate. That's what needs to be a battle.
And Jay, you'll enjoy this. You'll enjoy this. Apparently, these rumors were like these pictures were helped surface by our old friend Milo Yiannopoulos.
Of course.
Because he fucking hates Ali Alexander. Apparently, they used to be bros, but now they are not bros anymore. So.
Wow.
Just, I said, I just love these people just fucking eating each other. It's fantastic. So.
Yeah. I guess it's not bros, I guess it's not bros before hoes. It's like pigs before dicks. This is, again, I wish we could all pretend to be shocked. Everyone's a groomer. Drag queens are grooming children. Hey, send me a picture of your dick. How old are you? Underage? Even better, right? Like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? Again, this story hit and it was like, whoa, that's crazy. It should hit. Whoa, that's crazy. Check his hard drive. That should be the very next statement out of anyone's mouth.
And again, no wonder they get so fixated on like the Hunter Biden laptop, because they're like, look, like I've got so much crazy shit on my computer. Like, surely Hunter Biden must have crazy shit on his.
Yeah.
Like, check the laptop. Man.
Oh my God. So, speaking of that, here's another one. More GOP inappropriate behavior with underage kids. This one ended fine. New reporting revealed Tuesday.
it ended in, as everyone knows, your favorite statistic.
Yeah, it's fine. Again. It all worked out in the end. New reporting revealed Tuesday that Kent Sturman's suicide came shortly after he was accused of sexual misconduct with an underage teen. Sturman, a staunch DeSantis ally and GOP donor, was found dead in December, just shortly after a girl's father declined a five-figure hush money deal and reported Sturman to the police. Sturman allegedly had an inappropriate relationship with an underage girl to whom he offered Taylor Swift concert tickets in exchange for photos of her breasts. again, he committed suicide after it was about to come out that he tried to give them, you know, a five-figure deal to keep quiet.
I believe I believe prosecutors refer to that as consciousness of guilt.
Yeah. Pretty much. Mens reis, I believe, is the Latin term. Best of luck with all that. Again, why are there so many GOP folks and GOP adjacent folks who love having sex or trying to have sex or trying to see nude images of children? I'm not saying that the entire party is a bunch of groomers. What I'm saying is, or isn't, let me rephrase that. I'm not saying that I believe that. I'm saying that the evidence shows that, like, which is a huge difference. It's not just my belief.
It is truly weird how, like I said, whenever we see these scandals pop up, and it seems like it's happening once every month or so, it's always some prominent GOP person, like you said, either a politician or a mega donor or, you know, some other one in the circle of influence. And again, never forget that the most egregious example of this crime being levied against a politician was against the most influential Republican Speaker of the House ever.
Yeah.
In Dennis Hastert, who is still sitting in prison, I do believe.
Is he? Is he still there?
I think he might be.
No, they had to let the big man out, right? To hunt again.
I don't know, but again, this dude is so influential that despite the fact that he was arrested and convicted for sex with underage boys, the GOP still invokes the Hastert rule.
Yeah, dude,
which is never bring a piece of legislation to the floor that your own party doesn't, you know, support.
Yeah, like, come on, man, like.
That's the
change. Change the name of the rule. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Again. What is the deal with that? Like, why are so many of them obsessed with underage kids?
I mean, again, we say it all the time. That every time they get on their high horse about something, it's typically projection.
Yeah.
More often than not. The people who are often most flagrantly anti-homosexualism are closeted gay people themselves. The people who fucking yell about abortions are usually getting one for their mistress, and, you know, so on and so forth.
Yep.
As the world turns.
I love it. Go to jail. All right. So this is another super fucking hilarious story. This is exactly what I have asked. You and I talked about this months ago. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what they should have done, and it worked out well. Though there's a wrinkle to the story. Trump's fake Georgia electors are now ratting on each other. Of course they are. Of course they are. Because these are just regular people, man. They are not in it to become politicians. These are regular Joes that you convince to go along with your scheme. And when the shit hit the fan, they're like, I'm not going to jail. Like, get out of here. I don't even like being here. So a bunch of the fake electors, I believe there are 10 of them in Georgia. They've gone to the DA and they're like, we'd like to take those immunity deals, please. put that shit in my hand. But apparently the DA, Fannie Willis's team, had offered immunity deals months ago. Mm-hmm. But the lawyer for these 10 fake electors, because they all have the same lawyer, which will be relevant.
Never a good idea, by the way. I've watched enough episodes of Law and Order to know that you never want to have the same lawyer as the co-conspirator, especially if that lawyer is being paid for probably somebody else. So.
Yeah. No. We all need to stick together. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. I need freedom. I need to be able to move my arms and talk to my lawyer about selling you out. Like, we're not all in it together. We're not friends. I don't know you. So all 10 of these dum-dums have the same lawyer. Fannie Willis's team offered immunity to these people or some of them. Mm-hmm. And the lawyer, because it was given to the lawyer, just never presented it.
Yep. Again, it's a fucking Law and Order episode, man. Like, yeah. It's literally happened before where it's like, oh, like, why didn't you take my deal? Like, what deal? Like, I offered it to your lawyer. They didn't tell you. They're like, no. Like, oh, no. It's because they're serving someone else's interest.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah,
turns out. Willis calls that situation an impractical and ethical mess. It won't be possible to advocate for clients who are simultaneously ratting each other out, obviously. The DA's office is using those details to make the case that the judge should intervene and disqualify that defense lawyer, Kimberly Burroughs DeBrow, citing a conflict of interest. Yeah, they should all have different counsel. Like, that, mm-hmm. that seems obvious to me. The DA has accused DeBrow of highly unethical behavior, noting how several fake electors interviewed last week revealed that they had never been told about the potential immunity deals because DeBrow never conveyed the message. The DA said that the failure is in direct conflict with DeBrow's fellow defense lawyer, Holly A. Pearson, who told the judge in August of last year. So, yeah, they're ready to talk, man. They're ready to talk. I love it. I love it. This is exactly what we said. You dangle immunity or you dangle serious jail time in front of these people, and then you roll them up. You know who used to do that back in New York? One, Rudolph Giuliani. That's how he got the mob, right? You roll up the small guys.
Then all of a sudden, hair dye started seeping into his brain and made him crazy.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm going to go talk in front of this, like, Four Seasons lawn service company. Yeah, idiot. No one checked the location ahead of time? Seems strange. But, yeah, this is how they got the mob. They rolled up little guy after little guy after little guy until they got to the capos and all this other shit and took down John Gotti. That's what they're doing here. These guys, again, like I said, they have no interest in being the fall guy for some fucking mm-hmm. Republican presidential candidate. You think they're going to jail for Trump? No, get the fuck out of here. No, this guy did it. Fuck that. So they've been telling the DA, like, no, I saw this other guy, one of the 10. He was doing the illegal shit. So there is likely going to be evidence that comes out that these 10 who were supposed to be doing, you know, supposed to just be these electors, were actually involved in some fake shit themselves, thus breaking the law. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I love it. I love it. You got to roll these people up, man. I love it. It's too good. All right. We got a This Week in Stupid. I have another This Week in Stupid story. I'm trying to find it. Okay. So you take it away.
Okay. So there was a local journalist in Oklahoma who was suspecting that this Oklahoma County Commission was doing business after, like, adjourning for the day. And, like, so, like, after all the, like, reporters leave and stuff like that, they were still doing stuff. So what he did is he hid a tape recorder in the council room and it was voice activated. So when these dudes were talking, it was recording what they were saying, because he thought that they were, you know, that they were doing some underhanded shit. He checked with his, you know, the lawyer at the paper and make sure this was legal. He said, yeah, it's fine. It's all good. Like, do your thing. So when he collected his recorder back and listened to the tape, what he heard was some of the most racist, fucking heinous shit that you could imagine that this county commissioner and other folks on this council are talking about. So one of the big things is the biggest thing is they were talking about, like, oh, like, man, like, we could just, like, we could kill, we can murder this reporter, right? Like,
yeah, they were going to hire a hitman.
Yeah. To do this. Yeah. I'm going to quote directly. This is a conversation between, the county, commissioner, Mark Jennings. And let's see, someone else named, Manning, whose name I don't know what they do. So Jennings is like, oh, you're talking about you can't control yourself? And Sutter's like, yeah, I ain't worried about what he's going to do to me. I'm worried about what I might do to him. My pawpaw would have whipped his ass, would have wiped him and used him for toilet paper. If my daddy hadn't been run over by a vehicle, he would have been down there. And then Jennings responded, you know, that once his father was upset about something in the newspaper and he started to go down there to just to kill him, to kill this reporter. And this, and then Jennings like, I know where two big deep holes are if you ever need them. And then, and then he basically, the sheriff was also there and he's like, I got an excavator. Like, you don't even dig his holes. Like, I got an excavator. And Jennings like, oh, the holes are pre-dug. Like, no problem. Dude, we'll do it like the mob. We'll do it like the mob does it.
Wow.
And then they went on to say, other people that were in the room went on to say that they were disappointed. I don't have the exact quote in front of me. They were disappointed that the lynching of black people was now something that you just can't do in this modern day country. This shit is so racist that Kevin Stitt, the Republican governor of Oklahoma, was like, y'all, you got to resign. Like, this is racist even beyond a level that I'm comfortable with, and I'm a Republican. So, like, you know me, like, there's a level of racism that I'm totally cool with, but this is too racist even for me. As of a couple hours ago, as we're recording this, Jennings, the county commissioner, did immediately resign on Wednesday. So I guess the calls were too loud to ignore.
The calls were coming from inside the house.
Yeah. They're still looking at, and they've also, the Oklahoma Sheriff's Association voted to suspend the membership of the other folks that represented them that were in this room during this recording as well. So just a fucking amazing own goal just because this reporter decided to be like, you know what? They're up to some bullshit. Let me see what's going on. And amazing what he actually fucking found when he hit play on that tape recorder. So,
Oh my God.
It's just incredible how much they let their hair down.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors, considering how much they're willing to do it in public.
Yeah. I really don't understand being the way that they are. Like, it's just, it feels so stupid to me, but
it does. Yeah.
They're just gross assholes. Like, they really are just gross, gross assholes. But this is the type of shit you get when you actually see Republicans for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're dirtbags, man. They're real fucking dirtbags. And I don't know why anyone believes that these guys are good guys. Like, I don't get it. And again, doesn't mean Democrats are perfect or, you know, model citizens or whatever. But like, hey, man, why don't we hire a hitman to kill reporters? But you guys are the same ones who are like, I don't know, maybe Hillary Clinton killed a guy. Like, these guys are literally talking about doing this. It's just fucking weird to me. But
again, for all these free speech absolutists out there who are offended about our PC culture, they sure missed the part about the free press being in that First Amendment there.
Well, in fairness to them, Brad, I think you already know there's only one amendment that truly matters. No, it's the good one.
That's right.
So
no quartering of the military.
Yeah, goddamn right, Brad. You see? You get it, right? Number three is the only one that matters. So I have a clip.
Okay.
And I want to play, and this is not a secret clip, but I want to give some information here before I play this, which is during all of this Bud Light horseshit,
I already know what you're gonna play, and it's amazing. Yes,
yes,
can't wait, can't wait.
During all this like Bud Light bullshit, the good folks at Ultra Right Beer, they came out with an ad that, if I was a conservadad, I would think was awesome. I'd be like, this guy is me. I am him. This guy knows what America's about, right?
I will also say, when you first watch this ad as a non-crazy person, it presents as parody. Like it's
yeah, so no, it feels like a comedy. It does.
Yeah, it does.
So here,
so if you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, this is the ad for Ultra Right Beer. This is real. Okay, this is real. I don't want you to think it's fake. This is real. And then we're going to come back and we're going to give you some information.
America's been drinking beer from a company that doesn't even know which restroom to use. That's why I created Conservative Dad's Ultra Right 100% Woke-Free Beer. As conservatives, we're constantly getting hit in the face, left and right, by the woke mind virus. But the last place we want it is in our beer. If you know which bathroom to use, you know what beer you should be drinking. Stop giving money to woke corporations that hate our values. And to the rest of you woke corporations, stay the f*** away from our kids.
Okay, I think that is enough.
Buy yours online in 42 states at ultrarightbeer.com.
Buy your shitty beer.
Tastes like freedom.
It doesn't.
So first of all, like my one question about the ad is, why was he walking out of the bathroom with a beer in hand? Like, did you take your beer into the fucking bathroom with you, gross ass?
I mean,
nasty motherfucker.
Probably. You know, real men don't wash their hands, Brad. Like everyone knows that. So here's my thing with Ultra Right Beer. Solid goofball ad, right? Like feels like you said, it feels like parody. So I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
I do like the idea that this guy's like, in all you other woke businesses, you better watch your back, stay away from our kids. What's a woke business? What's a woke business? Like, what is
one,
it?
One who dares to market to LGBTQ to that community.
Gay people drink beer. Trans people drink beer. Like, I don't know. Like, as a company, you should be trying to get as many people to buy your product as possible and not give a shit who they sleep with or what genitals they have underneath their garments.
So by the way, I also have to mention, it's important to mention this. This beer is $20 for a six pack plus shipping.
Yeah, it's like $35 a six pack.
Like, let me tell you something. I am a fucking beer snob. Make no bones about it. All I buy is fucking craft beer. I ain't paying $20 for a fucking six pack of beer. Not in this economy. You kidding me right now? Get the fuck out of here.
So here's where it gets fun.
Yeah.
Because hypocrisy, much like I assume Ultra Right Beer, is a thing best served cold. I had one of the worst beers I've ever had the other day, and it can't be worse than Ultra Right Beer, I assure you. So it turns out Ultra Right Beer is in fact brewed by another company. That company, Goose Island Brewery, which is fine, right? Which is fine. Goose Island, reputable business. But Goose Island was in fact bought a number of years ago by another company. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. It couldn't possibly be, Jay. That would be insane. It's obviously not being bought by Anheuser-Busch. The very people that they're railing against, that they're taking their beers and putting them on a tee and smashing with a bat like a real man, like a conservadad. Yeah. So these dick bags are charging $35 for probably shitty Bud Light for a six pack, and it's the same woke beer that you're complaining about.
Which glorious means that there is a greater than 0% chance. Once I found this out, now I'm wondering, is this ad actually a tongue-in-cheek parody ad to prey on the weak, idiotic minds of right-wingers?
100%,
because the grift, 100%. Because the grift is too easy when it comes to getting right-wingers to spend money to fight against the woke mob, quote-unquote.
Yeah, look, I think that's 100% possible. I think this guy put this ad together. I'm sure he owns ultra-right beer, but, you know, then it's just kind of distributed and everything else through Goose Island. And maybe ultimately brewed at Goose Island. I think it is 100% that this guy was like, oh, there's a market for this. Look, white men, rich white men, love grifting poor white men more than I love watching rich white men grift poor white men. It's a personal pastime of mine. I watched that get put out on Twitter. I then saw the tweets by the company, and then I saw the responses, which were great. Well, I hope the price comes down eventually, but I'm supporting you guys. Yeah, thanks, brother. Yeah, we're fighting the good fight. The woke corporations, you know, we got to fight them. But yeah, keep buying our beer for $28 a six pack. Okay. I think you can buy, can't you buy a case of Bud Light for that same price?
You could buy a case of Bud Light for like $20, dude.
I don't know. I don't drink Bud Light.
That's something like that. It ain't expensive. I'll put it to you that way.
How long? What's the over under? How long before conservatives go back to drinking Bud Light?
I mean, assuming it hasn't happened already, you're saying?
Yeah, assuming that.
I mean, this will blow over eventually. I'm sure they all are. I mean, we all know they're wearing Nike shit again. We all know that they're, you know, brewing their Keurig coffee makers again. Yeah. So, like, you know, once it's out of the news,
like Kid Rock is definitely drinking Bud Light.
Yeah.
By the next Super Bowl, right? Like,
100%. Oh, yeah, 100%. I do remember I saw one of our favorite right-wing assholes, Jesse Kelly, tweet, you know, like, oh, fuck Bud Light. Like, I'm going to drink Coors. And then people pointed out to him that Coors also has done several ad campaigns supporting the LGBTQ community. And he's like, well, like, I you all informed me about Coors. Like, God, it shouldn't be this fucking hard to have to be able to buy beer in this country. And I'm like, yeah, the point just hit you right in the face and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Shouldn't corporate be hard.
Consolidation.
Yeah. Why are you getting fucking bent about a beer company supporting a marginalized group of people? Maybe you just don't care about that. And then you don't have to fucking do a personal morality test every time you go to buy a six pack from the store. Just saying.
Yeah. Like, dude, I don't look, and I'll be honest. I don't know what the political stances of the scotches I drink. Don't know, don't care.
Right.
Scotch in my belly. Like, who gives a fuck? I don't care. Like, unless they were like, hey, man, we're against this group, then I'd be like, okay, that's not acceptable. But if they're like, hey, we're going to make sure that, like, you know, trans kids are protected. Like, we're donating $1 to every bottle.
Yeah, like
does it go, like does the scotch before, go down like, the same? Don't care.
Yeah, like we've said before, like, there is no ethical consumption under capitalism. All the CEOs of these companies are probably right-wing donors and probably, like, Republican as fuck. Just don't – like, I understand that that's going to be, like, where you sit personally, and maybe even your company kind of supports conservative causes or whatever. I don't know. As long as you're not here rubbing it into my face –
yeah,
it is what it is.
Right. I can't get that upset by it. Look,
again, the guy from Home Depot is a fucking
right. The guy from Home Depot is a fucking asshole. And I feel kind of shitty every time I go to Home Depot. It's just more convenient than Lowe's for me. Like, it's, but like, he just, he likes Donald Trump, but he's not out here like Chick-fil-A is like, let's try to change gay kids to be straight. That's different. Like, we just politically don't agree with each other, and that is okay. Like, but your shovels are cheap and I needed one today, right? Like, I get it. But Chick-fil-A is like, how do we change gay kids straight? And I'm like, I'm not buying a chicken sandwich from you. I'm just not. And look, I stuck to that because I don't buy their shit. But these guys, they're not sticking to this. They love Bud Light. They've been drinking Bud Light for 30 years. Right. They're not going to change and get out of here. They're going to wait until no one's looking and then they're like.
Man, there you go. That's the market that we need. We need to create like a plastic like a silicone like can koozie that's like a fucking MAGA beer, but it you can put any beer inside of it. So like if anyone sees you drinking it,
I know it's ultra right.
Yeah, drinking that new MAGA beer. I see, and secretly it's a Bud Light. You just don't want people to know about it. Like that's fine.
Absolutely.
That's where the real money is.
Yeah. Look. Conservatives with this whole beer thing. Look, let me give you some advice. You're going to feel like as you're getting older, as you're kind of coming into your own, you're going to feel like different feelings and you're going to want to hide those particular feelings of who you truly are. You want to put yourself in almost like a closet of sorts.
Yes.
To keep those feelings that you have for this particular beer inside, and you don't want other people to know. And then when you go out with your friends and your family that maybe wouldn't be as accepting, you know, you drink Yingling or you drink something else, but you know, like when you go home and you're in your heart of hearts, you go and you say, you know, I am a Bud Light drinker. That's who I truly am. But one day, you're going to feel proud enough. And you can find other people who drank Bud Light who are out in public. And maybe they will rally to you. And all of you can walk out into the sun together. And you can go up to your family, up to your uncle and say, you know what? I am a Bud Light drinker.
That's right.
I'm not ashamed of it. And then they can play I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross as you drink your first Bud Light in public.
And maybe while you're hiding in this closet, you can go to special bars that only serve Bud Light. So you can drink Bud Light there while being among other similarly closeted folks.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, while you're out in public, you can carry your beer around with you. Just to
your Bud Light. That's the name of the cozy that we're gonna make. It's called a beard. The beard. That's pretty good.
Someone's gonna steal this idea. We're gonna be out tens of dollars. I can't believe it.
There are dozens of them. Holy shit, the beard. That's pretty good. Man, please don't steal that idea. And if you do, don't make a lot of money off it because we're gonna be fucking pissed. Like this is recorded. Like we said this.
That's right. Doesn't that mean we own the copyright technically under?
We technically do.
Mail this episode to ourselves, Jay. That way yes. We have a post.
Wednesday, April 19th, 2023. We came up with the beard, the beer cozy to hide the fact that you're drinking woke beers. just saying, that's a fucking genius idea. All right. You look, that's like a George Costanza. You got to end on that. Like, that's just right. Too good. All right. We will see you guys next week for another episode.
See ya.